KB Experiment.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's King Boris from the KB Experiment. We finally, finally have Mr. Hyde, Sherry Raines on the show. Say what's up.
Hey, what's up?
And I'll quote CeCe Peterson, your friend. Finally, it's happened. You got the fucking podcast popping, finally.
I'm going to have to ask your permission so I can air that, copyright.
All right, I'll get sued.
Listen, you might be all right.
Actually, let's get rid of Sherry Rain and we'll add CeCe Peterson to the next Bonnie and Hyde project. All right? It'll get more streams on Spotify.
Bonnie sure. And CeCe.
I like CeCe. We like her.
Yeah, she's the
we
best.
We can enter her into our relationship. CeCe.
Hey, where you at? Let's go. That is awesome. Well, finally, you guys are in the studio. I like that little Bonnie and Hyde in the back, and I love the whole background. So
instead of babies hanging on our fucking necks at our house and shit.
Babies wake. Well, the baby was holding the camera at 2 a.m. Like, stop moving it. No.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's up, man? Yeah. So tell me about yourself.
Baby doesn't write.
For everyone who doesn't know who Mr. Hyde is, explain yourself. Where you come from? What do you do? And, you know. What is your history?
Anybody should be anybody that doesn't know who the fuck I am by now.
I'm just saying, you know,
man.
Well, we are a little old.
Listen, you motherfuckers, pay attention. Why do I have to explain myself? What is this? Some sort of a fucking podcast? Jesus Christ!
And that's all, folks. Thank you very much for coming in. And
good, bro. You know, let the fans know that you're filming this fucking podcast on opening day of the Yankees. Right now they're playing, and I'm very OCD right now. I want to check my scores. I do not want to do a podcast with you. No, I'm kidding. So now, so
that's
listen.
That's crazy. Basically, Yankees.
The podcast over the Yankees.
True motherfucking story. So Mr. Hyde is obviously where I come from. I come from a fucking asylum, as you can see. I'm all over the place. New York. I was born in Elmhurst, Queens. Elmhurst Hospital. The same hospital that Kool G Rap was born. I don't want to let on to our ages, but 10 years before I was born, Kool G Rap was born in Elmhurst Hospital. So we got that in common. And the reason why I say that is because he's my favorite rapper of all time, and he was an influence of mine before I even started rapping. So like when I heard like Ill Street Blues and Live and Let Die and all that crazy shit, I felt like this motherfucker is kicking street shit, multi-syllables, telling stories. Completely rugged, like fucking hooking up linkage and wordplay and lyrics, but in like a thug context and a street context and something like from Queens, something that I could feel before anybody was. So that's why I just bring him up. So I wanted to pay some homage there. It also, you know, it goes along with where I'm from Queens, New York. And basically I've been rapping since like 1992, basically since around that time, 91, 92 was when I started. Like, me and my boy were listening to the Stretch and Bobbito show a lot.
Yes.
Let me just put you on. Like, I was in high school when we were listening to that shit. Maybe freshman year. Actually before high school. So this is like junior high school. I would sleep over my friend's house. Sometimes I would, during school weeks and shit, I would sneak out of my crib on a Thursday night to go sleep by his crib and listen to the show so we could listen to it together. And then during the summers, I would just sleep over. It would be no issue. And we would just, you know, stay up all night listening to the Stretch and Bobbito show. And at the end of the show, we would call up and try to rhyme and shit and be terrible, fucking whack. I'm talking, this is like 91.
Bro, I remember. Just so you know, I called.
Oh, yeah. You remember that because you were already 40 when that was going on.
42.
So, they were digging up your fossils already. So, but that's part of – I come from that underground New York scene, the underground hip-hop scene, where they were playing the illest shit live on the radio on like college radio stations. It was being aired out of like Riverside Drive Church and like you know, shows out of NYU. Shout out to DJ Riz and Eclipse and Martin Moore and Mayhem and Wildman Steve and those type of shows, because that's what I came up on. And those type of shows, just so the listeners know, were playing the illest hip hop and sometimes demos and bootlegs before the fucking songs were even out there. So me and someone like Necro or you know, who came up listening to that show, we would listen to the whole fucking Wu-Tang album, Enter the 36 Chambers or whatever, before it even dropped, because Stretch and Bob was playing like one or two tracks every week before, as a build-up before the album dropped. You know how people would, like regular radio plays the single after the album drops, right? Like Hot 97 will play some shit after the album is popular for a little bit, and then they'll drop another single off it. But we were hearing almost the whole album because they would send advanced copies to Stretch and Bob to get to bubble it.
Yes.
So the listeners would get excited for it. And then back in the day, me and you were talking about it, Boris, that back in the day, the tape would drop. It would be a cassette tape. Yeah. You know, we're not as old for, you know, for A-Track, but the tapes would drop. And then we would hear a couple songs on Stretch and Bob, and it would be banging. We'd buy the tape, and then they have us motherfucking fast-forwarding through the whole A-side to get to the B-side where those fucking singles were. So, like, we would be very annoyed, and I made a promise to myself very early in life, very early in my rap career, to never drop an album that had to be fast forwarded through a whole fucking A side. I wanted every track to be non fast forwardable, where every song you could listen to, and motherfuckers didn't have to flip their tape and fast forward and rewind and all that bullshit. And then little do we know now, nobody cares about that. They just add their favorite song on a playlist fucking digitally, and nobody even rewinds or fast forwards nothing, not even a VHS. You know what I mean? I like to fast forward this fucking podcast so I can watch the Yankee game.
It's not that good. I'm watching it right behind the screen.
I'm watching it live, and it's not that good. Yeah. So imagine. Anyway, I got down with I started going to these open mics and these underground hip hop events, and like New Eureka Poets Cafe, Wetlands, SOBs, Lyricist Lounge. They would hold events and open mics, and all these NYC rappers would come out of the woodwork, and I came up with a lot of these fucking people who ended up having a successful career later on. Dudes like Mos Def, Talib Kweli, The Last Emperor, AL Skills, he goes by All Lyrics now, Pumpkinhead, guys like Wordsworth and Punchline, obviously Necro, you know, like Nonfiction, all these people. So, you know, Q Unique, The Arsonist, they would all be at these events sometimes. And some of them had singles out at the time that were bubbling on Stretch and Bobbito. Some of them didn't. Some of them were like me. They had nothing out, but I just wanted to kick my shit. And I would take the train by myself sometimes because nobody wanted to roll with me to some underground hip hop event. Motherfuckers wanted to go out and look for girls and shit or whatever the fuck they wanted to get into fights in the street, my crew. So what we would do is I would go by myself on the train to the Lower East Side, go to New Eureka Poets Cafe, put my name in a fucking hat. Maybe I wouldn't even rhyme because they wouldn't pick my name out of a hat. And at the end of the night, at the end of the showcase, they would go in a hat and pick out names. And if they said your name, you'd go up there and you'd rap. And, you know, a lot of times I got lucky and they said my name and I would rap and people get very, you know, scared and turned off and go home and puke. So, you know, shit like that. Anyway, that's how I got started in the New York scene. And at one of those events, I actually met Necro. In 90, it all ties together. There's a reason. There's a method to my madness why I bring this up. Because it all ties together. I had heard Necro on the Martin Moore and Mayhem show in 1996. He went up there with his own beats and his own rhymes that he wrote right on the spot. And usually when you're up on a radio show, they would play other people's beats and you'd rhyme on them. Because that would be the, you know, the hospitality of the show.
Right.
You'd play a Biggie beat or a fucking Wu-Tang beat and you'd rhyme on it with your lyrics. He was like, nah, I'm bringing my own beats and I'm going to rhyme on my beats because that's how I wrote the rhyme. I wrote the rhyme to that beat. So he come up there, drop the whole shit. And I'm listening from home in like 1996 right now. And I hear this dude go up there and just be like Bogart shit and be like, nah, I'm rhyming on my beats and kick his shit. And he rapped completely evil, crazy, foul, exploitational, talking about, I'll crash into a fag bar with a stolen Jaguar. You're a gay body kid. I won't have to drag far. Like, he was talking crazy shit. And I was like, yo, this dude is rapping kind of like fucked up the way I rap. So, like, I didn't know anybody who was rapping like that at that time, like what I was doing. So, like, I got to meet this dude. And then eventually, January 1997, January, there was a show. He produced Cage's first single, the dude Cage, called Clockwork Orange. And then that's a classic underground record. And they did a show at New Eureka Poets Cafe. Cage and Necro were there.
Pause real quick. My internet just cut in and out. So hold on. Let me just hit record again.
You'll be able to piece it together later?
Yeah, yeah. So you were talking about, you were finishing up what Necro was doing, that show, what you were listening to.
That's where it cut? Just,
yeah. So I'm going to hit.
What show? The radio show? So yeah, he was, you know, he was doing his own thing even back then, independent wise, like going up to the show and dropping, you know, freestyles on his own beats. So that really fucking impressed me. I'm like, yo, I gotta meet this dude. Plus, he was rapping real fucked up shit that I thought only I was doing at that time. But obviously, I wasn't out yet, so nobody heard of me yet in that world. So I was like, yo, and I didn't have beats, and I knew he did beats for at that time, the No Tomorrow beat was out, the Nonfiction No Tomorrow track. And I know he had done the beat for that, and that shit was crazy. And it was mad dark, but the drums were sick, and it was just hooked up, and I liked the track. I was like, oh, this dude does beats, and he raps evil? I got to meet this dude. So anyway, so he had dropped he had done a beat for Cage and a single with Cage called Clockwork Orange. It was a real classic underground track back then. And they were going to do a Cage show at New Eureka Poets Cafe. And I knew Necro had promoted that he was going to be there for the show. So it was like January 1997. And I just popped up at the show. And basically, after the show, he was actually selling his black and white VHS tape with his beeper number on the back. Like real fucking do-it-yourself, yeah. Independent from the beginning, selling VHS tapes, black and white, that he made at his fucking his acting college or his film college that he was going to in Brooklyn. So like, and I was like, yo, I'm gonna support. I support the underground. Come here. Let me buy one of those. So when I bought one of those, you know, we talked for a little bit, and he was like, yo, he was bugged out because the way I was dressed, I was real metal. I was wearing a fucking leather blazer with a wife beater on underneath in the dead of winter with just a wife beater on underneath with metal rings with like fucking the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse spike rings, you know, those metal rings we get on Canal Street or fucking St. Yeah. Mark's Place or whatever. So I'd have those rings on because I was the type of dude where if you made fun of my leather jacket, I'd punch you in the face with the rings and there'd be flaps of your face hanging off. So I was one of those type of dudes. So he was impressed with the gear. He's like, you're a hip-hop dude? What are you doing? And he was like, I was like, well, you know, and I told him I rhymed and I kicked some fucking crazy verse, some out of my mind hide shit. I was talking about autobionic mechanical sluts, touch you in places, seen by few faces, rape type torture, slaughter oasis, you know, some shit like that. And he was like, yo, this dude is a little fucking insane and wacky, and he gave me props. And then I beeper harassed him because I bought the tape. The beeper number was on the back. So every day or two, it might have been every day, depending on who you talk to me in that room, I'm harassing him, beeping him. He'd call back, is this Hyde again? And I'd be like, yeah, man. And I would break his balls. I would talk. So listen, do you do anything else but rap? I don't want to hear you rap anymore. Do you, you know, like, would you be down? I'll hang out with you. I don't got time to talk, but you want to get together and drive to the boxing gym? And so I was like, he goes, because I've been sparring at the boxing gym. And I'm like, really? I'm like, I box, I, you know, I compete, this and that, you know, I, you know, Golden Gloves, this, that, you know, tournaments. And he's like, nah, you really? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'll drive to the gym. I'll pick you up right now. So, bro, I think it was the same day. I drove over there, picked him up. We went to the boxing gym. You know what I'm saying? We fucking, we worked out together. We had that in common too. So now he's looking at me like, I got to ride to the boxing gym now. And I'm looking at like, maybe he'll make some beats for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And eventually we just became best friends because we had so many things in common. And I you know, everything was going good and shit was about to pop off. I was actually supposed to drop my first album with Necro probably like 2002-ish, you know, like after Gory Days dropped, I was supposed to drop, and then I got locked up. I ended up having to do like a 6-month bid, and he had put out Brutality Volume 1, and that's why I only have one song on Brutality Volume 1. A lot of people don't know that story. So I was locked up. And I didn't even have a double ups on some of my shit. Like it was recorded and I got locked up literally before the next time we got in the studio to like finish that track. So his verse wasn't even dropped yet. So he dropped it on Street Veteran. He dropped it and then I called him in jail and he played the song over the phone and asked me if that was cool. He's like, that's the best I could do with it. You like my verses, you know, it's hooked up. So I said, yeah, man, I'm extremely grateful. Put that shit out. And a lot of other people don't know that Necro laid out the money for my lawyer and came to visit me every VI and put money in my commissary. So just so you know, if anybody disses Necro or bothers Necro in any way and I'm around,
that's it. Lights out.
It's not going to be good. It will not be a good thing.
That's family right there.
Head off.
Just, and it's happened. She's seen it happen. She's seen shit. I mean, I've literally knocked out 8 people in a span of 25
you
seconds.
You can't even look at him sideways.
Don't. Just don't even do it. And vice versa. If I'm not paying attention and someone's fucking with me or putting me under pressure, you'll probably get hit from the side from Necro and laid the fuck out. And that's happened before in Scotland and different places.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
You know, that's my motherfucking brother. So
that's what's up. That's what's up.
But that's how it started. Born of the Naked Dead ended up dropping. I wrote 75% of my first solo album in jail with no beat, with a beat in my head. That's why the flow doesn't switch up as much as it should. Because it was the same fucking metronome beat that I was creating in a fucking, you know, 8x12 fucking jail cell. Yeah. So every time I come out of the jail cell, the fucking inmates would be like, yo, 8 Mile. Eminem had dropped already.
Shit.
You're calling me. That was my nickname. Yo, 8 Mile, you dropped something new? You dropped something new, 8 Mile? And I have to kick my fucking verse that I wrote the night before, real rusty and shit. And they would be like, oh, shit, you know. And then we'd cypher and slapbox and all that good shit. Born of the Naked Dead came out a year later. I got offered a pro boxing contract in between 2003 because as soon as I came out, I started training again. and was doing all that. And then I turned down the pro boxing contract to do music because I figured that it's better for my nose in the long run.
Yeah.
I think I might have chose the right choice. I'm in a nice studio. I have a nice wife. I got a framed picture. Who knows? I might not have had all that stuff as a boxer.
Hey, your brain too, man. Your brain doesn't always work.
I definitely can't really box lefty. So, you know, I'm not that advanced.
Brain damage.
I met Corrine, Sherry, aka Sherry Rain, in 2005, and we could let you, you know, ask her about that experience because I can't speak French, and that's all she spoke at that time. I can't really translate the inner feelings of love that she felt when she seen me. You know, well, like, mon amour, croissant. She was looking at me like a croissant.
As soon as she spoke French, Hyde's eyes, he floated to you like this.
No, as soon as I saw that she could throw a football with a spiral, that's when I felt.
Oh, shit.
This girl speaks French, which I don't give a fuck about, but she could throw a football. I could put
the right way.
We had uneven teams, bro. Me and Necro and our hype man or our fucking DJ was playing football with us, and Necro was the official quarterback. Now Corrine came, we could play 2-on-2.
She could spiral that shit right into your gut, you know, when you go.
100%. And we won. Me and Corrine beat Necro and Carbone.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
And Necro would not let us live it down. He was very upset with that because he's so competitive. But, you know.
So I shouldn't ask him about it.
Necro was quarterbacking for Carbone, and I was quarterbacking, and Corrine was faster than Carbone. That was the problem. She could run faster.
And I'm not afraid to actually dive and catch the ball. Right. I bent my whole elbow.
She was diving
on motherfuckers.
I'm not a quarterback. She was diving for catches that I was throwing, ripping up her knees and elbows, and Carbone wasn't willing to do that for Necro. So Necro's like, you see how Corrine is getting open? You see? What's going on here?
Listen, those foreign women, man, ain't no joke. They'll take a fucking beating.
The revolution has taken place here. Right. The women in WWE are doper than the men right now. Charlotte Flair could kick the shit out of half the men, and Amanda Nunes in MMA could kick the shit out of half the men.
So, yeah,
my favorite.
And she could make beats better than half the fucking men in the hip hop scene. Just so you know, listen to the Bonnie and Hyde album. All her beats. You fucking jadrules. You jerk offs. Think you can make beats?
Jamokes.
This girl made a beat in French. Go ahead. Talk to Corrine.
Yeah,
I'm going to go in the other room.
I literally, wow.
He's going to go do push-ups. He's excited now.
Yeah, he's leaving me. Like, yeah.
Well, tell me about yourself, Sherry.
I when I met him, I didn't speak English at all. Actually, he taught me everything. So, you know.
Not everything. She used to say, okay, cool. Okay, cool. Yeah, you want to go to the movies?
The only thing I said.
Cool. Okay, you want to get some coffee? Okay, cool.
Everything was okay, cool. So, because I understood a lot of it, but I didn't know how to speak it. So I pointed at stuff. I spoke in brands, so everybody knows what Bounty or Charmin is.
Oh, yes.
Something.
Hey, honey, I just took a shit. I need some Bounty.
Fucked
it all up.
Cool.
I'm like, you sure? Because toilet paper is better than paper towels for your asshole.
Oh, he said, Charmin. Oh, that's great.
So, I came from Canada with a bunch of my friends to see the Super Bowl of Hardcore in 2005. It was in March. It was for my 21st birthday, and that's where he was. I met him at Super Bowl of Hardcore. I was always a hardcore kid, going to hardcore and metal shows, mosh pits, and that's my come up. I always loved that music and the aggression, which I already knew his music because that was really what brought me to cross over to love hip hop was, you know, Psychological Records and the aggression in that hip hop style.
That 2004 movement from Psychological and Necro, all those 2004 albums dropped.
Yes.
What's Wrong with Bill, you know, Sabocalypse, Barn of the Naked Dead.
See, and that's the thing. In I'm pretty sure in Canada the scene was different, but the underground part of music is much more worldwide and much more
crazy.
Loyal.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
And I was never really into hip hop because I never grew up around it. Like, I grew up in the country where it's hard enough to get any music out there. Like, the only thing they play is, like, French folk and country. And even the radio is only playing French music. And it was
Canada.
Just for me to find, real music. Like, I just, my uncle was into Metallica and Iron Maiden, Cinderella. He was okay. listening to
wow.
metal.
She and, says Iron Maiden, Metallica, and Cinderella.
Yeah. Hey,
listen, he was into metal.
So he was, all so of he it, was all also of it. In touch with his feminine side, you're saying? Cinderella.
That's exactly what I was thinking when we
said
it.
Now. If your uncle hears this podcast, fine. Oh man, that was a good Cinderella was a good.
I hope he doesn't speak English, does he?
No, he was okay. So he listened to all types of metal, and that kind of put me like I loved that. I always loved. He would give me like cassette tapes of like Metallica, and I would
Cinderella. I would, yo, I listened to Slayer, Cinderella.
Not Cinderella.
I know what it is. It's hair metal, bro.
My Little Pony.
Okay.
They tease their hair up in the air.
Like yes, and my uncle had hair like that. Okay. And reddish.
So now we know he listened to Warrant. She's my cherry pie. He was dancing with Heidi Whitey's. And
hey,
now
listen.
Kind of a weirdo.
Hey, that was a good song. Right? That was a good fucking song, all right?
So he put me onto metal. And I was hanging out with older kids, and one of my best friends introduced me to Sick of It All, which opened the whole new spectrum for me of like New York hardcore became like my
See, I didn't even
my
know that.
Favorite
I didn't
music.
I didn't know the one that brought you into that was Sick of It All. I didn't
so
know
yeah, and I'm a huge Madball fan. Since I was in high school, and but Sick of It All opened the way for all of it. I got into Agnostic Front, Madball, Scarhead, Crown of Thorns,
Marauder.
Mm-hmm. I just loved all that, and just expanded to other bands too, like with Northside Kings, 100 Demons, Death Threat,
Scarhead.
So kind of like hardcore and metal brought me over to the 2004 psychological record movement. One of my best friend put me on to Necro and Hyde and Bill, and I loved it.
Shout out D Bruiser.
He
put on Corrine to all our
to
music.
All that music.
So without that dude putting her on to that, she might have just stayed in the hardcore
scene.
Yeah,
we used to always go to shows together and hang out. So like every day we would hang out and go to shows or go out to eat. And I was studying fine arts at the time, and I would just go to his crib with all my homeworks, and he would just play music, and I would just do my homework in his crib. And he would play Necro and Hyde and all that.
Yeah.
And that just got me into it. So when I first met him.
It was at a hardcore show, funny enough.
You were a fan.
It was at a hardcore show, and I didn't want to talk to him because I was.
You were a fan,
I was
right?
Thinking, I was thinking he's going to think I'm a groupie. I don't want him to treat me like that. So.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Edit. Oh, you ruined it.
Making trouble plus I'm out.
She's going to crap you with that shit. Wow.
Listen, I miss my calling as a comedian. Just my boy Little Vic always says that. He's like, yo, you know you missed your calling, right? You're an okay rapper, but you're a better comedian.
That's right. He's all right.
So you ran into him, and you're like, I ain't no damn groupie. So what happened?
That's right.
So, I ain't no groupie,
okay,
damn it.
Cool.
No, but
she tackled you.
Yeah, I thought he was handsome, but I wasn't going to talk to him because I just didn't want to. I didn't want to come across that way. So many months later, we just started writing like on MySpace.
She didn't want to end up giving a blowjob in the bathroom with the Super Bowl of Hardcore. That's what happened.
I mean, that.
I'm classier than that.
Okay. I'm going to say that kind of ruins the relationship for the future.
Yeah, she's classier than that. We would have flushed the bowl first. Go ahead, continue.
And I had. My hair was half shaved.
Right.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, and still Wait. Liked me, so I guess
Downstairs
it didn't matter.
Who moved in for the first kiss?
Right.
Who moved in for that? I held her hand first.
Yeah. Oh, it was very cute.
Because I didn't speak
English.
So set the mood. Set the mood. We're chilling. Cinderella came on.
He said, okay, so he took me for coffee at Starbucks, right?
Oh
And
shit.
Fancy.
he saw like the girl can't speak any English, so let's go see a movie. I'll take
Right.
you see He took me to see King Kong because he figured that I'd understand the growls.
Rah, rah, King
That
Kong, you know, that's any language.
Right? So we went to see
was
King
very
Kong,
thoughtful. I was thoughtful.
right?
See?
And that's it. He held my hand, and I think
In the middle of King Kong.
he did make the first move, but then after
So he
that,
grabbed your hand. Was it sweaty? He was like, oh my God.
no, he was so confident and relaxed. I had like heart
Palpitations.
palpitations.
She
I was
had 16
like,
butterflies flapping around. They almost came out of her throat.
Oh man, that's what's
I
up.
grabbed a hand.
Hey.
It felt like a wet fish. I was like, what the fuck happened? Why'd I grab a trout?
Are you live? It's kind of clammy. Hold on. That's what's up.
Right.
Hey,
I'm
but
not that I was
no,
making it sick. I was making it
everybody
sick.
has a
She's like,
story, you know what I mean? And this and you
grab
guys have
this
been
girl's
together for a
hand. This girl, she's
while.
got like fucking flu symptoms. I'm like, what's going on? Fucking early COVID-19.
I was gonna say
explosive diarrhea.
you had
You know
COVID
that.
too.
Yeah,
That's what it was.
exactly. Right.
Can we
The
even
very
sit in
first
there? Hold on.
SARS.
Hey, so
Yeah.
that's funny. How long but you guys been together for a long ass time. That's my point. That's why I
Yes,
asked,
since
like
2005.
so you guys been together for like 26 years, 30 years almost.
No.
You know, oh,
2005. It's like 15
okay.
years. Take a zero off.
Yeah.
Take a zero off. You
Oh, my bad. I
gotta add
get
a zero to
confused. I'm
everything.
so old, you
Take a
know.
zero.
So
Add
you
two zeros
guys
to everything.
So 16 years,
in dog years.
and
Hey, but
it's
that's
gonna be
not it's
12
not
years
common.
that we're married.
That's not a common
No,
thing,
it's
you know
not
what I
common.
mean? Like people
And
don't stay married anymore. So
what also is not common is to make, you know, music together too, which is crazy. You know, that's to have someone that long be in your life, and you get along, and then you get along musically. Because a lot of times people don't. It's gonna clash. The creative, they call it. Bands break up because of creative differences. So I
right.
mean, you know, we could have creative differences.
When did you guys start making music together? Like you and her, you and Sherry.
2012.
Yeah.
If it bleeds, we can kill it. Dropped. So my third solo album. And basically that album, I wanted to be more like the name of the album was If It Bleeds, We Can Kill It. So that was
Okay.
one of the themes where I had a lot of features and a lot of people, like the people that actually were close to me in my life, I had on that album. Like people I grew up with sometimes. You know, we even put the dude who put her in contact with me, Dreb, the guy, D. Bruiser, he's on the
He
album
rapped in
rapping
French,
in French, and she's doing the chorus in
and I
English and in
sang
French.
in English and French. So it was kind of like the first time we worked together. I was still unsure
Right. So I was
of
like,
being
how about we
able
do
to
a
work
track?
in that. Yeah.
If he's doing the shit, he's doing his verse in French, and I'm gonna do my verse in English, let's have you do the hook and the piano, but the hook is gonna be one time said in English and one time said in French.
Yes,
And we just
yes.
did like a, you know.
And the guy that made the beat for that track was from Montreal as well, so it was kind of like that track
It
was
fit.
It was
it
United
was a
Nations.
French Canadian
French, Canadian, English. Yeah,
collaboration.
yeah.
That's dope. I mean, have you even to this day thought about doing some more French music, French hip hop, even?
I wrote some songs in French, not hip hop, but just regular singer songwriter stuff. I never actually released a song in French, which is odd because it's my first language.
Well, let
But
them know that what you're not, you know, you make beats in hip hop and you work with me, but let them know what your steez is. What you...
yeah, actually, I was classically trained on the piano when I was very little, like 6 years old. For about 3 years, my mom put me to take classes because I was already making my own melodies on the piano. And once my teacher caught me not being able to read the music, and I just kind of gave up because I didn't have the patience to learn how to read everything. So I just took what I knew, and I kept practicing, and I kept making my own songs. And then I didn't have a piano from when I left my parents' house. I was about 16 years old. I left on my own. And when I moved in with Hyde, when I was 22, I told him like I would love to play the piano again. I miss that. You know, it was always my outlet to kind of let out my frustrations. And music always been a massive part of my life, just in general, helping me get through stuff. But my first Christmas, when I moved in with him, I got home and he had bought me a piano.
Ah, he loves you.
That was the best ring. That's the best ring you could have given me.
That's love.
You know how like a ring will cement a relationship for her? Yeah. With the piano.
That's it. He gave me the piano. He had me there.
Now you're staying here. Now you stay here. Keep him here. Keep
forever.
Her
here. Hey, it worked out well.
Forever.
That is awesome.
And that's that. And that's no. that.
And that's that. So have you guys ever toured together?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yes. And they're fun. We both smiled because they were great, funny, hilarious, crazy tours.
Crazy.
Because, so I was
the merch girl.
She was the merch girl for multiple Necro tours.
Oh, okay.
And sold Mr. Hyde merch and Necro merch and PLR merch. And Kid Joe was on those tours with us, R.I.P.
Oh, rest in peace. Yep.
Yeah, which
Kid Joe was my private security.
He was the PLR mascot. And Necro, me and Necro took him to different costume stores for the whole tour and would buy a different costume for each show. So every show there'd be a flip up and a switch up of Kid Joe's costume. So one day Teletubby
in Memphis he was Elvis. we called him Schmelvis.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Up to the fans that were waiting online with the camera. We have a camera going and be like, meet Schmelvis, you know. And it was crazy. Yeah. Kid Joe was
wild, man.
He was such a good sport, man. Kid Joe was a good sport. He was just down to make people laugh.
And then he'd get off his meds and be dressed in a toilet seat with like the paper roll and a piece of shit in the toilet. And
he'd be
smoking cigarettes with like a nasty face on, dressed as a toilet bowl.
Or a Teletubby, so
If you can imagine that.
Necro
grumpy, like grumpy Kid Joe.
A grumpy Kid Joe smoking a cigarette in a Teletubby outfit.
And like,
yeah, you know, like don't let that Teletubby watch your kids.
He's hardcore security right there. They're like, let's fuck with the Teletubby.
Look, a Teletubby. And the mother would be like, no, don't go over there. That's not a Teletubby. It's a psycho.
A toilet tubby. That's
what... A toilet tubby.
Holy shit, man.
There's a Kid Joe Rest in Peace, a Kid Joe Forever skit on Bonnie and Hyde on the new album. So everybody check for that skit. He's somebody who's just, you know, he was so loyal to the PLR fans and the members, and just no matter what he was going through in life, he had a tough life. He always had a great outlook and always, you know, jovial and always fun, always make you laugh, you know. It didn't matter what he was going through.
I still love watching him.
He's on YouTube.
He's the best.
Necro made him a star. Put him on YouTube.
Oh, hell yeah. No, for real. Like, I've watched him for years.
Give you the shirt off his back.
We're very exploitational. We like to joke, but it's like, we, you know, Necro put out a Need Drugs with Uncle Howie, and, you know, we got family members smoking crack in a crack hotel looking crazy. But just in order for exploitation and to make the documentary and make the I Need Drugs theme work with the video and the song and just to make it classic, it needed that. And Necro had that vision to do it. And we do that. Every one of my albums is a theme. You know, I'll name something really obscure, Barn of the Naked Dead, Evil Never Dies, If It Bleeds, We Can Kill It. And it goes along that theme the whole way through. And, you know, that's a consummate artist, someone who can do that, I feel. You know? Her solo album is called The Sum of All Tears. So instead of The Sum of All Fears, The Sum of All Tears, and it's a lot of built up, well, you can let them know, you know, built up frustration over the years, not being able to speak English. No, I'm kidding.
I mean,
hey, language barriers matter. I mean, you know, my family's Hispanic, so I'm Colombian, so I know a lot about language barriers. Yeah. And trust me, people don't know I'm Hispanic.
For years, I couldn't express myself clearly, and it was such a frustration to even have people. I worked a lot of dive bars and diners, and people were so disrespectful, telling me like, "You stupid bitch, go learn how to speak English before you work in here."
Well, I didn't hear any of that. If she would have came home and been
I got fired.
I'm starting to get chills up my spine even hearing that, because if I would have known that back then.
Well, that's listen. Hi, let me tell you something.
To upset me, but I couldn't let that.
She
dictate.
Held it in. She didn't tell
a good that. Woman does that because they know that we'll go kill somebody.
Well, right. That's the thing. I was going through a lot of things.
Oh, there was a guy. I was
thinking I cannot tell him this because he's gonna be showing up at my job, sitting at the end of the bar.
He was a retired cop or something. He thought he was a tough guy at one of her jobs, and he was a real douchebag. He tried to flirt with all the waitresses, this and that. He was just one of these fucking douches, right? And he was married, right? Wasn't he married?
He was married.
One of these just fucking scuzzy dudes. And she had been starting to be able to express herself in English, and she let me know about him, and I kind of got the gist. So, like, I would go.
He would always pick me up and make sure that he. Because one day.
She begged me not to attack him.
I asked. One of the girl that I was working with asked me to go have a drink with her. And I was like, yeah, sure. Well, let's go have a drink after work. We go there, and all of a sudden, this guy is showing up where I'm at with this girl. And that's the girl that told him, oh, yeah, we'll be there. Come, she'll be there. So now you're tricking me to go have a drink so that this guy is showing up where I'm at on my own time. And I'm like, and I have a boyfriend, you know?
Yeah, that's how we were boyfriends.
So I was just like, no, like this cannot be. And I told him, like, the guy makes me uncomfortable.
At that time we were boyfriend and girlfriend, and it was like, you know, it was still new and all, but I was down to, you know, protect her, what the fuck I got to do. So I went over there. From then on, I picked up.
He just picked me up every day.
I'd be strapped with weapons to the teeth. Let's just keep it real right now, right? I'd be having, it'd be the middle of winter, and I have all sorts of fucking weapons on me. Not going to say what kind, but I'd go pick her up and, like, glaring, you know, into the window.
Oh, yeah.
You know, are you off your shift yet? And you know, like looking in there like that.
Just through the window.
Yo. Kareen's boyfriend is here right now. Is she done yet?
They thought he was nuts.
Is she fucking done yet?
Well,
like that type of shit.
That's what you gotta do.
I was waiting for someone to be like, "Yeah, yo, who are you?" You know, like
"Yes, this is it.
Allow me to show you. Let me
allow me to introduce myself. Hello, my name is Hyde. And
my name is Hyde.
Like Austin Powers, allow myself to introduce myself. You don't want that. Fucking jerk off.
Hey, but you know what? That's a good woman, because a good woman will keep that shit and tell you later on a podcast live in front of everyone.
Right. And get me ready to rip things off the walls. Like,
but that, you know what?
How many times? Like, oh my God.
I'm thinking in my head, does the guy still work there?
Yeah. Hey, that's how my wife, I've been married 15 years. We're being together. I've known my wife since high school, and there's shit she still tells me like today. And I'm like, God damn it. Why don't you say something then? Because you would have done something. I was I know. She's like, exactly. I'm like,
we got to pick our battles. You know, like, do I want a husband in jail or do I want a husband at home?
Right.
Especially now that I have a little baby. I got to.
It is true.
Does she want to spend all her tips for the last 3 weeks bailing me out?
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't got anything I can sell.
I can sell some Charmin.
Hey, it's the truth though, man. Like I think
maybe
that's
now
a,
sell, you know, like now that we're all, you know, we're super famous.
Hey, look, that's a big thing. All I'm saying is, you know, as hardcore that one could be and all that shit, a good woman does what she did. Because I'm telling you, it could have ruined somebody's life.
I gotta keep this powder dry.
There was times where she was at hardcore shows and things happened, and I'm calling up my friends like,
don't let me go there.
Yeah.
You handle it,
because I'm telling him something casually, and he doesn't think that it's okay, and he's ready to come there with.
Bro, that's what it is. So, fuck it, just go there with.
Well, see, what people don't realize, all I have to do is visualize it. If it gets visual in my head, it'll happen. I have to do is replay it once in my head. That looks like it might be cool. Like that blood squirted across the wall and a hatchet in someone's skull.
Oh my God.
That can be done.
You run into the guy. You know, I killed you like twice, right? What? You don't even know. You don't even fucking know.
Three times already. on the way here. So the fourth time is going to be really.
Yeah.
You know how, like, serial killer? Kuklinski will tell you the first time is always the hardest. So I'm already on the fourth or fifth time by the time I get to you.
Listen, this is fun now.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill you, and then I'm gonna fucking, you know, eat a cheeseburger.
Hey, so let me ask you this: when were you on tour when Necro got kicked out of was it Europe?
Of course, I was on tour with them every tour.
Did you get kicked out as well?
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to ask.
Calling Europe, I'm the one calling Australia, finding out where they are, which precinct, trying to find somebody that speaks English.
Oh,
we were in Switzerland to find somebody that could speak English to me. It ended up being the secretary of something that knew a little bit of English that was able to tell me where they were and at what time their court date was. And oh my God, it was just.
Hyde.
Lots of fun.
Farfignugan. Hyde eats Fig Newtons. I don't know what to do here.
Damn, okay.
I was just like, I was even asking them, I was like, do you speak French? You know, usually in Switzerland, a lot of people speak French.
They speak a little
Some
Italian
people
too.
Speak English. Nobody German. In that precinct spoke English or French. And until
so you as well were banned from Europe.
Yep.
And that was lifted already, I'm pretty sure. I think
it's been lifted.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was so easy. All we had to do was apologize. Necro just had to apologize to the Swiss consulate or somebody, whoever's running the Swiss government.
Another story. I just wasn't sure if she was there with you and how
she wasn't on the tour. She was home.
Yes,
I was home. And also, that's funny, when they got arrested in Australia, my friend from Quebec, the guy D Bruiser, that
same
was the same guy, my friend that put me on to the music and stuff, calls me and asks me, hey, yo, what's going on? And I'm like, what's going on? He goes, well, Hyde and Necro got arrested in Australia. I'm like, they what? I didn't know anything about it.
Like, he
was on the message board. Somebody said something.
Damn, the message boards. That's right. Holy shit.
It took me a whole day to get to Australia.
Bro.
And,
but they were very nice, though. They even let him know that, okay, your wife called from America.
Those message boards were no joke back then, bro. That was life. That was fucking life right there. Hell yeah.
It was like the Yankee score coming across the bottom of the screen and shit. Like,
and thank God he called me thinking I knew more than I did, because then I was able to find out how to get through to Australia, find where they were. I had to find out if I had to send bail money, if I had to fly out there to get them out. You know, I didn't know what was going on and what it was going to cost us. How long he was going to be in there.
I mean, listen, this shit happens. You know, a lot of people, they just did that shit to a couple of, you know, like famous commercial artists got locked up abroad.
Yes.
And I forget who it was.
One of the ASAP Rockies, isn't
it? Exactly, ASAP Rocky got, and they did it to him. They were on some fucking. It was almost like it was set up.
Yeah,
they were heckling him, and they wanted him to, you know, take some kind of offense, so then they could lock him up for assault. And you know, it was crazy. It looked like it was planned.
I watched it. Yeah, no, I looked into all that. And
I mean, you know, anything that goes viral, you're going to be up.
Well,
on.
Now, yeah, see, this isn't the type of shit that went viral mainstream back then. Back then, it was off forums. I remember that.
Right, you couldn't really get. But the same thing with underground hip hop too. It was funny because you couldn't get it unless you had like Napster, or if you were listening to Stretch and Bobbito. And if you didn't live in New York or the tri-state area over there, you're not going to listen to Stretch and Bobbito. So you might get a lot of that shit late.
We used to share that. So I'm a big graffiti head, right? So I was hanging off of trains and highway signs like crazy shit.
Crazy.
But I remember there was a website called Art Crimes, and I believe they had a forum as well. So that's where we would share the underground music. I believe that's where I found Necro and was in one of those forums, because I was like 15. I actually used to skate like a fucking inline skating, whatever, jumping off of shit. And I used to make these tapes. And you know, blank tapes and bootleg them just for myself and my friends. But
I know I have some friends in the skating culture that were in New York, NYC skating culture.
And so you know how big it is.
All that. Yeah.
Graffiti, skating, all that shit. So we had all those forums, and I remember when that shit happened in Europe. You know, people knew about it because of the forums. So it was like it went viral in the forums. It's like, oh shit. But you know what, the internet was so different, bro, than it is today. But when you said forums, that brought back so much shit, because I'm like, yo.
And back then it wasn't censored.
Hell
like it is
no.
today. It's like
Hell
as soon
no.
as they as soon as something pops up, it's just one word that they'll take the whole thing down, you know? It's
oh yeah,
everything
yeah.
is
cancel
policed.
Culture. Get the fuck out.
Bro,
oh
yeah.
my god.
Bro, get the
it
fuck
It was
out.
So raw back then, the
be,
shit that was
be
out there.
You can't be yourself anymore,
Listen,
you know?
No, 100%. Necro and Mr. Hyde, we wouldn't exist if it was cancel culture like that. As it is now, Facebook's, even Spotify. I mean, you know, we did the Joe Rogan. So
oh.
like so much shit. I mean, y'all look, if you guys don't know, look into that shit. But like the censorship is so fucked up right now. They're trying to cancel Mr. Potato Head. Come on, man.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Child, what's next? Twister?
They canceled
Pepe Le Pew. Well, that's your homie. That's the French homie.
That's so she's mad.
Pepe Le Pew. Because he liked on the female a little too much.
Yeah. Me too culture. Man. He was raping them, you know? Like he was,
Jesus Christ.
He was
well,
forcing them to smell his perfume.
Imagine. So it is different, man. Like back then to now. And
way different.
I mean, everybody's so up in arms, politically correct. Listen, I'm on some fuck that shit, man. I'm on some fucking be yourself. Yo, be yourself. Yeah. So for the same thing, if you're an artist that's raw and raunchy and you're being you and you're fucking, you want to write what you want to write, freedom of speech type shit, then how different is that from some fucking person trying to be themselves, transgender or whatever the hell they want to do with their lives? They want to put a dick on their forehead, whatever the fuck
whatever.
They want to do, rearrange their body parts. Do what you got to do and be yourself. Let them be. But let us be too, man. What are you
exactly.
going to cancel us for? You don't cancel them with a dick on their head, but you're going to cancel me for saying it?
Exactly. I'm
honestly,
with it.
Get all the way the fuck out of here.
And that's the truth. Don't use your rights to stomp on my rights. It's not like
everybody should
it's like
do
reverse
whatever
racism.
They want.
It's all this reverse racism, reverse censorship, reverse censorship. Get the fuck all the way the fuck out.
See, we got to... Some of us got to be smart enough to use it against them, and then they can't say shit. It's coming.
But she knows how I am.
It's coming.
I'm on some stubborn. I'm gonna do my thing no matter what the fuck anybody does. No matter what is happening in the world. Another thing was we were in Europe, right, when the fucking France and Paris bombings happened, when the terrorism happened a couple of years back. So we were actually one country.
And I was on my way there.
Oh yeah, she was on her way to come see the show in Paris. She bought plane tickets to come see that show because she started off at home. Because I think we did it on our anniversary, was it?
It was on our anniversary. I was meeting him in Paris.
Right,
and,
to watch that show.
My hotel was 2 blocks from the bombings. My hotel was canceled. Then he started getting nervous because he had to... I was going to stay in Paris by myself and catch another plane, but he was going to like Switzerland or something like the very next day. So he didn't want me staying all by myself in Paris with everything that was going on in the climate. It was a little crazy. So
What we did was we canceled the Paris show.
And moved on.
We were supposed to do the Paris show the next day after the bombing.
And you guys did it.
We ended up doing the Paris show in a different venue at the end of the tour, and it's still fucking almost sold out. Still crazy. On a boat.
You guys recorded that, right? There's a lot of videos of you on tour, on that specific tour, because I remember watching you guys stuffing in a van, or I forget, driving across fucking Europe.
Word up. And then we also did like plane flights. It was a lot of plane flights that tour too.
Yeah.
So, but I remember that we didn't cancel. But the point I was trying to make is we're on some fuck that shit. If we didn't do the show and we all flew home and we just stopped the tour, and then the terrorists win, right? Because what they want is to inflict fear and make everybody stop doing what they're doing and they can't live everyday life.
Correct.
So if we go home, the terrorists win. Fuck that shit. I'm on some fuck that shit.
No, listen.
You ain't stopping me.
That's what made you guys today what you are. You know, so why change now?
And that's why we relate.
You can't
live
your life in fear, you know what I mean?
Bro, I started...
And I didn't want to make him worry the whole time he was going to be on tour. So I'm like, listen, do your show. I'll cancel. I'll see you when you get home. You know, it's not like it's going to be our last anniversary.
Right,
it was
right.
It was a downer. Like, I was looking
forward.
For
her safety, fine. You know,
but,
like, let's not push it.
You know,
I
was coming regardless. But he was like, listen, I'm going
to
be nervous the whole time you're there. I don't know. Like, I got to be somewhere else, and you're going to just be all by yourself in Paris.
Right. For me and my brand, it's one thing. But when people I love, it's just you're pushing it a little too much.
Right.
And I'm like, let's not take extra chances. We're going to finish the tour. Don't get me wrong. We're going to do our thing. But let's not go out of our way to tempt fate. You know what I mean? Like,
correct.
Like, don't come here on top of everything
happening.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you got to.
It is what it is.
Battles.
Yeah.
Of course. No, but, and that's right. I mean, don't change for no one.
And
fuck
I'm not
that.
Trying to stress them out. You know, I'm coming there for us to have a good time. If we're not going to
have
a good time.
Listen, I'm
I'll
not saying
home.
That if someone kidnapped her and there's a 100 people, army, you know, guarding her. I'm not just gonna go in on some fuck that shit and get killed on my way in.
Yes, we are. What are you talking about?
Plan of attack.
No, that's
about strategy too, and about being smart.
You're gonna walk right in there and be like, "Yo, man, you guys."
But
Just by walking in, they're going to be like, wait.
It's good, but it's going to be Apocalypse Now, extraction mission, and it's going to happen.
So you got to bring that. Listen, the helicopter.
You see the movie Taken? It's worse, bro. I was
just about to say that. I can see him on the phone like, I have a special set of skills and rings and weapons.
Liam Neeson's fucking minor leagues, bro. Let me tell you something. With me and my goons that I'll bring, forget about it. You guys, you just can forget about it.
Hey, you ever seen a skit, The Italian President?
The what?
The Italian President.
What about him?
You ever seen the skit? There's a comedy skit, and this dude.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you got to watch it, because what you just said, literally bringing the goons, he said, yo, if an Italian was president, the war would be over. He went to Afghanistan, and he went into a cave, and he goes, yo, Ben, how you doing? Pull up a rock. I gotta talk to you how for you a minute. Doing? That's how he did. He goes, you know how long it took me to get here? So he's like, hey, Vinny, hit him with the bat. Hit him with the bat. He goes, is he dead? Good. Grab the carpet. Let's go. And then, bro, this shit is so...
carpet. You don't even need the carpet. You can use his turban. So what I was going to say is my father, now that you bring that up, is, you know, he's 100% Italian from Brooklyn and, you know, like a knock around guy type dude.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go into anything. But one of his famous phrases was, you just don't own bats. So this is, I want to name a song that at some point in my career. But people used to call him when there was a problem, right? And all the time, because Uncle Eugene would come or Eugene would come and the problem would disappear. Something would happen.
Right,
You might not have to get violent. You might have just had to talk to somebody and it'd be over.
It's about the vernacular, especially from the Italian
respect, uncle. Right? So I remember my cousin Malachi, his mom, right, would always call my father if there was a problem. Oh, the guy next door is bothering me, or he said something to me, or, you know, he smacked my ass, anything, like something like that. Something small, but like not so small. So my father would come and settle it, put somebody in line, give somebody a beating, whatever it would be, right? And then eventually he'd get, like, he was busy. He was playing poker, he was running numbers, he was doing whatever the fuck he was doing. And he'd come there. And the guy wasn't anywhere to be found. He was Uncle Eugene. The guy was, you know, bothering us. He was here. Now he left. I don't know where he is. So he get annoyed and we go, listen, you just don't own bats? And they're like, what? Bats. You just don't own bats? You take the bat, you hit him on the head, and then you got no problem. The problem's over. Get bats. Buy a bat.
He's still like that.
He's 90. God bless him. He's 90. And I think at 80, around 80 years old, he beat up the guy. He beat up the supermarket guy. The guy disrespected him. The guy bagging groceries disrespected him somehow. He said something to him.
And he
knocked the guy out.
In his 80s.
Listen.
81. He hit the guy.
You don't fuck with old Italian guys.
His father is...
You don't fuck with old Italian guys. Money. That's it.
And here's the sickest thing. The sickest thing about it is his old wife. He's got his old wife with him. You know, like he remarried with another. And they don't even get excited when he does some crazy shit like
they're
that.
Like,
you don't get excited when I do some crazy shit. She's like, come on, Eugene. We got to go.
hurry up and knock him out. We got to go.
Let's go. Let's go before they call the cops again.
I got the meatballs on the stove. We got to go.
Literally.
Oh, man. Like,
that is hilarious, bro.
Sometimes my friends will be like,
if shit happens, I'm already warming up the car, you know.
I hung out with a lot of friends that were Italian.
I got you. The car will be running.
She won't even beep the horn loud. She'll just tap the horn like
you already know.
Come on, do this motion. Come on.
Well,
let's get out of here.
Hey, come on.
Doesn't even have to be our car. I drive stick and everything.
This shit is hilarious, bro. And
segueing into Bonnie and Hyde, Epic Pursuit. So we just dropped a video for it. Go check it out on YouTube on my channel. But Epic Pursuit video is an interpolation, and we recreated the theme of the original Bonnie and Clyde. Shout out to P Flow Maddox. He hooked up the video with the old school vibe and. It's pretty fucking crazy. It's all that black and white old school Bonnie and Clyde car chase. We took exactly their story and personified it in a hip hop track with her singing the hooks and going back and forth with me on the rhymes, and it's crazy. Check out Epic Pursuit, y'all. It's actually
relating to us and our relationship as well. You know that.
I reset the Bonnie and Clyde scene with Bonnie and Hyde. as rappers and singers and playing all the original piano. And
the shit is dope. I saw it. It'll be in the description, so everybody be able to go.
Couples goals, like that shit that they hashtag.
Yeah,
couples goals, like that type of thing. Ride or die chick.
Hell yeah. But I'll put all that stuff in the description so everybody can check it out. But that's definitely I mean, everything that you've ever put out is dope, you know, and all the music that you guys have put out.
I appreciate that. Listen, I'm extremely appreciative for the fans and anybody who listens, because I know that my shit in general, I think her shit is much easier to digest than my shit. And she's only scratching the tip of the iceberg with what she, her potential.
I see that. You're talented as fuck. Like, I mean, when I hear her music and what she does.
Thank you. It took me so many years to even get comfortable enough in my own skin to embrace my creativity and feel worthy of being on his shit, because I know how tedious he is, and I never felt quite worthy yet.
Well, there's
took me a long time to feel like, okay, I can do this and I'll feel confident about what I'm doing. I always felt like it was falling short of being as dope as what he does, and you know, kind of growing as an artist around Hyde and Necro and, you know, Bill and people, you know, in their realm. It's a different type of aura when you're around them than if you're around this other artists. You know, they're so particular about their craft and everything that I never wanted to be criticized for bringing that,
like, you weren't worthy.
Bringing down the value of the music, you know what I mean? I wanted to be viewed like, oh, listen, wow, Hyde's wife, I love her with all my heart,
but I would never let her water down my brand. So if the shit wasn't on a level, the shit would not be released. And there's a reason why we're together almost 16 years and this is the first album we did together, because maybe she wasn't ready in certain areas. She's always been an incredible emotional,
but I wasn't ready.
Keyboard player and piano player, but to translate that into hip hop and, you know, all everything, the whole brand thing, and to be able to vibe with me on that level is a reason.
And also, for years I was doing metal with a couple of my girlfriends, and, you know, I was just doing more experimental alternative metal, and I was trying to do my own thing with the piano. So I wasn't really trying to infiltrate his brand. You know, he was doing his thing, and I wasn't trying to be like all about what he's doing. You know, I wanted to do me and learn and, you know, get some experience with working with other artists, you know, that weren't my husband. And, you know, so I did a lot of growing up on my own, you know, before I was comfortable to do some stuff. But I remember I started playing some pianos that Hyde was like, oh shit, I could rap on that. Like, that's dope. And I was like, you know what? Let me try to make some beats. And
I could see that. I could see you evolving. And as that happens, Hyde, like I could see how the music comes together now and how it vibes, right? So I could definitely see how maybe 10 years ago it may have not worked. But right now, the shit you're putting out, yo, it's like meant to be, you know what I'm saying?
I appreciate it, you know, because I won't do anything, even down to the nitty gritty of my creative process. She knows I will not even fucking pick up a pen or headphones or anything if I'm not inspired at the moment. Because if I force something, it's not going to sound as dope as if I'm inspired. If my juices are flowing and I'm ready to rock, and it's like, you know, you wake me up out of nowhere and like, yo, right or wrong, you know, like, it's not gonna come out as good as if I
motivated
just finished,
and yeah, know. Plus he's got his whole routine, like he's gotta have his coffee.
I'm a coffee snob.
He's a coffee snob. If it ain't Bustelo, he doesn't want it.
Nah, Bustelo.
We could be at the most.
Colombiano.
Hey, I just had some Bustelo. I swear to God, this morning. Yeah, there you go.
Bustelo.
So, but yeah, shout out to Bustelo.
He has hashtag his own lab. Still trying to get sponsored.
She even wears the yellow Bustelo shirt.
Where's
yellow Bustelo.
Hey. Trying to get sponsored.
Free coffee. Just give me free coffee. You ain't gotta pay me.
Yeah, that's it. Just give me coffee. A lifetime supply of coffee. And
bro, I eat that shit right out of the can, man. What are you talking about?
I'll make a call Bustelo.
If you cut my wrist, coffee grinds will come out.
Hey, we're out of coffee. Hold on.
Everybody thinks I'm on coke or something. I've never done a drug in my life. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm just on pure fuel, life adrenaline, and probably a touch of madness and coffee.
Maniac. Bustello. He's a maniac.
Well, I'm
24/7. I'm energetic.
You're a healthy dude. But, so you know, that contributes to it. You start losing energy if you don't stay healthy.
Oh, yeah. Health
he's
as well.
He's got so much energy. That's why our baby Angelina is so energetic.
She is the Tasmanian devil.
She's got too much energy, like him.
She's cute, bro. She's so funny.
She's cute.
I've seen her so many times.
I don't like daddy.
She's been on the podcast many times.
He crawls after her and growls, and she growls back. You know, that's hilarious.
The beast man cometh to play with your kids.
There you go. The boogeyman's gonna be scared of her. Yeah, he's gonna come out and be like,
she took her to work. Listen, she took her to like take your kid to work day. And she was running around the workplace growling. And the people
somebody was like, what is she doing? I was like, oh, she's growling.
She's growling at people.
No big deal.
It's okay. Hey.
She's growling at people.
That's how shit works. My daughter's 7 and she loves watching scary shit. So, you know, that tells you a lot about, you know, how strong they are. Like, she ain't going to be no punk, pretty much.
Right.
She's going to stand up for her friends and herself, like, period.
Oh, yeah. You know, she's going to be a little terror just like us.
What people don't know from the podcast, Boris is my friend, and I be calling him for fucking children advice because he's got three of them, and they were all wild also. So, you know, and I'm really supremely trying not to lose this luscious head of hair like he did.
Oh, Jesus. Don't even.
Luscious. I'm getting a little thin already.
every time I had a child, like, the hair would fall off in the delivery room.
Kid was born and then you got a little thinner and thinner.
Yo, I swear to God, like, that shit starts to happen. You're like, what happened? It was just there. Like, oh, fuck, the babies.
We're talking about. She just brought up a horror movie reference. She said, sir, dinner.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. Dinner. I did that shit on my head. That.
And that's what somebody did, right? It was a gypsy curse. They got you.
Yeah.
The head, sir.
Oh, yeah. No, it was on the face, but they did my head by mistake. I moved. I was like, shit, they got my head.
There's one patch of beard that you can't grow because that's what the gypsy touched.
Yeah, Diener. And all of a sudden, like, fuck, that's great.
Diener. I actually did that to someone, an unsuspecting passenger on the train as a teenager. I went up to him while he was sitting down on the train, New York City train line, ran up to him and went, sir? On his face, and he went, oh god, and I was laughing so loud that I was laughing so hard I jumped off the train. It wasn't my exit. I jumped off the next train and ran, you know, like, and then got back.
He was
in
Harlem, like, oh shit, yo, yeah. How long ago did that movie come out?
A long time. Yeah,
I need to go watch it again, bro. That was such a.
It's early '90s.
It was a good one.
Such a dope but corny movie.
Corny but great.
Yes, it's like a classic.
The acting is actually good.
It's comedy-ish.
Yeah. You know, but a lot
of white men from town.
The white man from town. So a lot of my style is horror, but it's also tongue-in-cheek comedy. You know how like a horror movie would be so brutal, but then there'll be some character in the movie that's, you know, some chop-top dude who's crazy and fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Taking it with a hanger and eating it, you know, like some crazy movies. So that sums up my style. You'll get the horror brutal, and then there'll be some touch of comedy in there, comic relief, and you'll be like, oh, shit, that shit's nuts. Or the video might have some comedy in it. If you watch Verses from an Unquiet Grave, it's got Kid Joe in it. We're burying Kid Joe alive, and he's
that's so bro.
It's a crazy shit, and at the end, he comes back from the grave, which I wish he would do now. But, you know, it's just we'll add, like, comic relief everywhere.
That is hilarious that you brought that up.
That touch. It can't be just brutal, brutal, brutal all the time. People get turned off, you know? Or they'll only listen to you when they're looking for beef or working out in the gym trying to bench 800 pounds.
And I even let him abuse me in Unspeakable.
Yeah, and in the bedroom.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
That's how the baby was born.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would have. Yeah, so.
So what are you doing, lady? You want to let grandma keep the baby a little longer?
Hey, you do need a second one. I just got to say.
Make the Tasmanian Devil part 2.
I'm a big fan of having at least. You're not a real parent if you have only one kid. I'm just letting you know now.
We have two cats, so does that count?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right, there you go.
But you need. I'll give you one of mine. To be honest,
I don't care. They're already grown. I'll take the kid. from you.
Right. We also have six nieces and one nephew.
If you send me one of your kids, immediately that kid will be transformed into a babysitter. I've been making the music. The kid will be watching Angelina.
Hey, you might send my daughter back because she's a piece of work. If I had my last one first, she'd be my only kid.
That's exactly what his brother said, that if the last one came first, yeah. They only would have one and not seven.
The last shall be first.
Actually, on the way to the studio,
I was writing a rhyme, and I wrote the first line last. So like the intro line, whatever the intro line of the song was, it was the last line I wrote. So it happens to me all the time. Because I'm like, this rhyme is good, but it needs a good beginning to catch everybody. So I have to write something extravagant for the beginning. And, you know, so I write the first line last.
When are you going to put the baby in the album?
Never. No. Never? No. When she starts talking and saying words that are cute, I might teach her to say something fucked up. And then they'll speak to
you already know. Listen, she's going to go to school like saying that.
Well, blame it on her uncles.
Right. That would
It was because
Necro taught her.
Yeah,
it wasn't
amazing. Godfather, you know, is such a bad influence.
Yeah, look. My son would walk around.
Blame it on the Godfather.
And hell yeah.
He's not, because Necro is brutal as can be. Dope fucking, you know, everything about it.
He's very sweet with kids.
But if it's her birthday, he'll buy her so many fucking gifts where we don't have any room for them. So, like, he's
got a soft spot.
That's a lot.
And that's why we made him the Godfather, you know?
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Yeah, Necro's
look at the Godfather's album. Cool G Rap and Necro. Speaking of Godfathers.
Hell yeah. Damn, that's crazy, man. The whole thing with the you would think when I met Necro, same thing. Like I thought he was his music, right? Not that he isn't, but that dude is a fucking genius.
Yeah.
Like no lie. Like once I've listened to you guys for 20 years, but once I started like talking to you guys on a personal level, I didn't realize how fucking smart you guys were. You guys aren't, and it's the truth.
Some fucking Neanderthals running around with weapons.
I mean, if you look at imagery, right? What do you think?
I think they're highly underrated. You know,
no, for real. Like the level,
I feel like they're so beyond most of what's really popping today. But
that's what's good with underground now is you can manage your own brand like never before. You can control all your shit.
Promote it.
Hell yeah.
What do we do? What do I do all day? I mean, I'm sure the fans get sick of it. Add me on Spotify. Add me on Apple Music. Do this because it's become I get neurotic because it's not a tour. It's not even a touring world anymore. It's a digital. They'll stream the fucking show, a live stream from the tour. People are doing live shows in their fucking house. So it's like everything is so digital that I'm OCD when it comes to it now. Please follow me on Spotify because if you don't, there will be no more Mr. Hyde. If there's no more digital and you're not following me and my fans who are 35, 40 maybe at this point are not making the jump from CDs and fucking cassette tapes to digital, then the brand is going to die because I have to be able to train to compete somehow. Now, of course, I do own all my own masters and all the streams come to me and I don't have to cut anybody in. Thank you, Necro, for giving me all my masters. You know, I own everything. Necro owns everything. So a lot of people don't realize with the grind, independent artists that do well digitally are actually not struggling as much as you think that we might be struggling because we own all our own masters and we have huge catalogs. And if you're streaming, let's say you have 50 different songs, Necro songs or anybody's songs on a playlist and they're an independent artist, that means those songs are popping nonstop. And we're getting 100% of the money for it. Necro writes, records, produces, promotes.
Yeah.
He owns all his beats. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. He owns all our beats. I didn't know how much went into what you guys did. And, you know, just starting, like I said, talking to you guys, I'm like, holy shit, these guys are no fucking joke. Like, you guys are, you know, and again, looking from the outside in, you would think one thing, right? I mean, it's just what it is. As humans, we look at people and judge them. But then when I get into it and really understand what you guys do, I'm like, yo, you motherfuckers are no joke.
Well, like, you can see it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday. I ain't working no fucking 9-to-5 job. So this is my job. So
living off of your brand.
If I don't do my job, no money comes in. It's the same as anybody else's fucking job. You could be shoveling ditches in a cemetery. You're working your 9-to-5, whatever you're doing. My job is actually sometimes a little bit more challenging.
It is.
At 2 a.m, I'm writing verses to be at the studio the next day because the baby might wake up and I get cock blocked. I can't write anymore because the baby's on my neck like a fucking barnacle. So, you know, I might still be able to write, but I might have to write barnacle into the rhyme, and I tarnish you with the barnacle, whatever.
But no, I give you guys a lot of credit. And it's like she said, I don't think you guys get the credit you're supposed to. You know what I mean? Because I'm my brother, he's 5 years older than me, and I put him on Necro.
He's 96.
Yeah, 97. 97. Gotcha. Oh, my bad. Yeah, he's 5 years younger than you. So what happened was I put him on Necro, and in like the 90s.
Let's speak French, touche.
Parlez-vous français? That's all I know.
I know touche.
We both have been fans for like 20 million years, right? Mm-hmm. So when I told my brother, yo, I started talking to Hyde and Necro, and like, it's been years now. It's just crazy because
it's like Necro came out, the Tyrannosaurus came out, and then Mr. Hyde came out.
Then they wrote the scriptures.
Right. Then Jesus came out of the closet. So,
but what I'm trying to say is, that we were such big fans. Like, honestly, you guys are in the top like 10 of our music. I've been listening to your shit since for 20 fucking years. Like, yeah. So when I like having dialogue with you guys, it just changed everything, and it made the music that much more important. If that makes sense, it made it more of a thing for me. Like,
and one of the things is that's what I want the light to go on in fans' heads, right? So, like, there might be casual fans, right, who hear maybe the biggest songs of ours. They might hear Necro, Who's Your Daddy, or I Need Drugs, and be like, oh, he's a dope novelty artist that makes funny songs, it's a funny song, I want to show my friends I Need Drugs. But if you actually sit down and listen to the whole catalog, you're going to see, it's going to open up Pandora's box, and you're going to see all the fucking little intricacies and areas of hell that you didn't know about. You know hell and the devil, but you might not know the temperature around the corner over here in hell. So you're going to get all the intricacies about music in our catalog, like album tracks that we might have made a theme song or like a thematic or a topical, what do you call that? A novelty track somewhere on a track that might be really intuitive and really smart. Like I did a song called Bums with Necro, where I personify myself as a homeless person. So all the rhymes would be what a New York bum would rap about if he was a rapper. And it's fucking crazy. And
so then, about your life.
Right. I do a lot of tracks like that. So I have a song on If a Bleeds Me Killer called Vampire, where I'm rapping from the perspective of a vampire. And nobody's done that in hip hop, to my knowledge. So like, there's little, you would never know those tracks. You
might
know.
Well, that's the storytelling part of shit. And that's what I mean. Like, you have your regular rappers that just say shit, right?
Right, right. But well, we're in the Dragon's Lair studio. Shout out to the Dragon's Lair, Multiple Blast. I've been recording here since If It Bleeds We Can Kill It, that we mentioned it. So since my third solo album, all my stuff has been recorded here. Damn. And I grew along with the studio. The studio has grown to be one of the dopest, New York.
And studios. Every studio has that leather couch you're sitting on that's all cracked up and shit. That's like a staple of studios.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell
like
yeah.
Big time. I just had the to say that because
the most comfortable couch you'll ever sit on.
Right. Well, even here in Houston, there's
200-pound Rottweilers have slept on this couch, so they've broken in.
Big time.
Well, yeah, so the creative process for underground cutting edge artists. We're not the type of dudes to grab any old beat and rap any old two verses on and put any old chorus together. I actually structure my songs with movie samples and tie them in to what I'm rapping about and make a theme of the song.
Just look at the Bonnie and Hyde you put out. Yeah. Like that video alone and the whole structure that was, when I watched it, I'm like, yo, that shit was dope. Like, it's not just some bullshit.
Listen, I'm so thankful now, because when I first started on Necro funded and produced my whole album, put me in the studio. I didn't have to spend a dime. I mean, we had to recoup and all that stuff. But like, as far as he put me in, he produced the whole album, he funded the whole album, and distributed the album. Damn. And I'm very thankful. From then on, I was able to fund my own projects. I'm not one of these rappers that somebody – yeah.
I was going to say, tell them about how you guys used to package your music and send them out. See, rappers don't know about that shit today. I'm talking about
independent grind.
The records, the CDs.
Bro, there was a time I even fucking had the CD sent from the distributor broken up, the actual jewel case by itself, and I put jewel cases together.
Put them together, the art
to save $100 because I didn't have the money.
And that's what I mean.
Just enough to press the CDs up.
huge difference from the mainstream.
How many times did I empty my savings account to go on tour to press merch? Like, I have to have merch for this tour. I have no money in savings. Let me empty my savings account, $5,000 that was in there, and press up $5,000 worth of merch to go to Australia to make 15K, you know?
Yeah.
And then come home and gamble it on the Yankees. But what I'm saying is,
I mean, they are the best team in the world. Yeah. Just they are.
Thank you. Well, I mean, not until they win this year. When opening day starts, they're not the best team until they win the World Series that year. Then they could be the best team for the whole offseason. So it's all about winning the World Series, you know? So I don't feel like the best rapper until I have a brand new album out. So when a brand new album out, I'm feeling good for about a week, and then I start to get inspired to do something new already.
Yeah, you guys put out massive amount of music. Yeah, I gotta say,
not the best rapper. I didn't mean to say the best rapper in the world. The Yankees are the best team in the world. Yes. But I'm gonna say I don't feel at peace with myself, you know, until the new album drops and the fans are loving it, and that that's my mission, you know, and she has her creative process that she goes through, and it's very hard for her to be inspired sometimes with the baby, and she still bartends at a really upper class spot now where she's making crazy money, but it's still bartending, dealing with the public, dealing with shit where, you know.
Let me borrow $20.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I believe me. I borrow $20.
Well, that's what's up, man. Like, I love.
Who do you think is paying for the studio session? I gotta spend it on merch.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I would have worn my Hyde shirt, but I wore it the other day. It's dirty. So
yeah, now it's dirty. It has droppings from your beard on it. So listen, it has ginger ale droppings.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with ginger ale. It's healthy for you.
Yeah, it's okay if you have an upset stomach, but you're going to really upset your stomach if you keep drinking.
Hey, if you eat a huge...
The sugar will burn out the core of your stomach.
That's one thing about Hyde, man. He is a health nut.
And I'm not... I don't just preach. I practice...
No, for real.
He is.
He'll call me eating salads. Like, and he's, salads.
He's got the most discipline ever. I mean, I'll be eating chocolate cake right next to him, and he'll eat a salad.
See, I can't do that.
He has the best, you know, discipline, willpower, and everything.
You walk into my house.
When we met, he's always been sober for as long as I know him. And when I met him, I was into all sorts of drugs and drinking heavily. And basically, he told me he would never be with a drug addict, and that helped me clean up my act, and he kept me sober for years. The first couple years that I was in New York, I was, I was struggling with getting rid of my addictions as well as trying to speak English and getting work in New York with no papers. And it was just, it was interesting.
You went through it.
He kept me in line. Yeah. I was going through it physically and emotionally, and he didn't give up on me, so, you know. I knew he was a keeper.
So, you know, I've never been a sugarcoat.
No, I almost cried when you guys were talking about Kid Drum as a kid.
She's very emotional.
Yeah.
She'll be watching commercials, like, for Kleenex, and she'll start crying. You know, like,
if there's, like, animal abuse or I'll cry.
Right, the Sally Struthers shit. Oh, man. The Sally Struthers shit will come on.
It cannot be about kids or animals or about people being discriminated. it upsets me. Like.
Right, yeah. The send a quarter a day to the animals, like those commercials will come on, and I'll come in the room, and she'll be with tissues and shit. Like, what happened? Did you watch a commercial again?
Yeah.
I told you, commercials are a waste of time.
Have you fed your ducks yet? Commercials
are on, what am I doing? I'm doing push-ups when commercials are on.
Hey, that's what it is, man. And that's a strong relationship. And that's why I wanted to have you guys on the show, because this, you know.
Oh.
Yo, it's deep.
We're happy to be here.
I can't say it any other way. It's some deep shit because I grew up on it, and I get to hear it and see it for what it is, and you know, now the world get to hear it.
And the aspects of making it, you know, like and
the
creative processes and all those things. Hopefully we're able to dictate some of the way it is, you know. But hopefully they can get the vibe of it from the podcast. I'm not sure. I know they're going to definitely get that Hyde's insane.
But I can only imagine him 20 years ago, bro. He can't even hang out with you guys. He beat everybody up.
Well, I don't think people really – I mean, I don't I don't
Do you
think
beat
I'm
your own friends
that's the
up?
funny thing. I don't believe I'm insane. I believe that everything I'm saying is the fucking God's honest truth, and that's how everything should be.
Like, if I
But
go on
that's
tour
why
with
I'm
you
insane.
guys, am I gonna
I
get
get
beat up?
what?
Or
Would
if
you
I
get
go
beat
on
up?
tour with you guys, like to go hang out, are you guys gonna beat me up?
No. We'll fucking I don't know. We'll dress you up like Smelvis.
Smell this. I can do
No,
it. I'll be the
I don't
Pillsbury
know.
Doughboy, bro. I'm
You're gonna
fat.
be everybody gets abused on tour, including me.
Well, we'd never do that to you because it wouldn't work because Elvis had hair. So, and but you know.
I love you too, Hyde. Thank you.
Anyway,
Holy
so I think we
shit.
could wrap it up, right? Do you have any other questions for Corinne? Because she talks so much.
He's out of breath right now.
Never out of breath. I do my cardio.
Hey, can you guys play some live music for me?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh
Some.
yeah. Oh
Ready?
fuck. Yeah, we'll do
Ready
some
and
live.
quick.
Should we get the we got the
We
piano right
got
here?
you're in the studio?
Piano's
Yo,
on.
do that
Piano, let's
shit.
see.
Yo, let's do it.
I'll do some live shit. Hold
Just
on one second. Hold
don't
on.
fucking mosh pit and start kicking the piano
Can you
over,
see?
Hyde.
Can you see from there? Can you see?
Yeah, I can see.
It. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's that lot. Uh-oh.
Oh shit, she got
Uh-oh.
the uh-oh.
The fans know this wasn't so live. Funky fresh face melt, y'all. Check it on Spotify.
Yeah.
Yo, the best get out of my way. I'm the most damaging plague. After I'm dead, feds will be scanning my grave. For now, pulling pins out of rammer grenades. If shit gets physical, I'm grabbing hammers and blades. And while your man is clacking, my axe hand is chopping. Leave your ass rotten like Janis Joplin. Drug up your frame just to pump your stomach. And now you regurgitate. Bet it was worth the wait. Flirts and rape, but looking now, curse your fate. Each little surge of hate adds to the murder rate. Clog your arteries with the hardest disease. To cure, draw, roar, never pardon MCs. If I get flaky, any commoner bleeds. And my heart drops degrees after barometers freeze. Snatch a Yamaha keys, drive off high hills. Pack your umbrella, case the sky spills. Waking up in maggots as vulture grub. Cause I'm breaking up you faggots like culture club. Cage up in shackles, full rocks and noose. And my flow got you loose like old prostitutes. And I stroll with a couple of real hostile groups. Playing the villain role like Tupac and Juice. What?
Yeah, that shit is dope.
Hey, listen. A little out of breath. I actually didn't do my cardio. It's not easy without a hype man.
Yeah, I'm gonna go beat up the mailman after this.
Sherry Rain, y'all. Sherry Rain, y'all. Bonnie and Hyde. Oh, switch it. Watch me ignite this shit like a fiend's pie pit. I do this for thugs, leaving the righteous split. Y'all turn into dashes at the sight of my blaster. Might be type quick, but some of my bullets run faster. Bucking off shots, got you clutching your knot. Trying to plug up the holes, our blood is gushing a lot. Put on my brass knuckles, hit you with the jab or two. I'm set to stab a dude, turn him into maggot food. Jack in the magazine, can I be done with it quick? Watch me empty out clips like a son of a bitch. No remorse in my heart, I've been rotten since birth. Before I finish the job, my kids are plotting to hurt. hunting for a skirt if she's beautiful drugger. If a man riff, I got the Louisville slugger. Ken Griffey swing with an axe at your face. Little pieces of your skulls all over the place. Attacking shit, I'm accurate, never miss the target. Open up your mouth, son, I use my fist to clog it. Get up for real, get up your shield. Cause when I set up to peel, you'll be wet as a seal. Your fleet might be deep, I'm rolling with worse dogs. Prone to burst slugs like Stallone in First Blood. What?
Yeah,
King Boris, KB Experiment, Sherry Rain, Mr. Hyde, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Shout out to Necro. That's a Necro beat right there. Necro music, piano. Cat of Nine Tails, Notorious Gorious. She's definitely getting dick tonight.
You guys are wild, bro. Yo, that was dope, man. I gotta say, that was dope. I never had anybody perform on the show. Oh shit, man, that's what's up. Well, listen,
are you done with us? Can I go watch the Yankee game?
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, all right? Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Hold on,
how you talk? Is that the way? Oh, word up. I got the we're gonna sponsor brands and shit.
There you go.
I'm gonna take hip hop back.
Hell, you know, yeah.
My brother Hoya rocking the Mad Bull shit.
Mad Bull.
You know what I'm saying? Fucking yeah. If you got problems, call Uncle Eugene. You just don't own bats.
Yeah. Where's the Eugene bat line?
We handle shit around here.
We need the Eugene bat line. Hey, thanks for coming on the show, guys. I appreciate you. This shit was way better than I expected. That live performance,
Awesome. Wait, let me put you on the spot. Was it better than CeCe Peterson?
Uh-oh. I don't think she didn't sing live for me.
You paused too long, CeCe, you're getting fucked up.
When you pause too long.
She never went live on the show yet.
Oh, I'm kidding. Which I just
now I'm going to have to get her on.
And I think it's funny because I used to rock CeCe Peterson too.
Yo.
While her uncle was rocking Cinderella, I was rocking CeCe Peterson.
Hey, I'm going to send her this. That you said that you sung her Final Lee song.
And
she's gonna love it.
Finally, it's happened. So, also, what was I gonna say? You're gonna edit this? You're gonna edit some of the shit out? Because I know that we went longer than it was.
I'm gonna play this whole shit. It's gonna be a 7-hour podcast.
Okay. It's gonna be like it's gonna be like the Wu-Tang double album, right? Like when Wu-Tang has to release two albums, like double
hell style. Yeah, four CDs in the damn case.
A new revolutionary moment for the KB Experiment. The first double disc tape that you don't have to fast forward through. Mr. Hyde, and Cherry Rain, Bonnie and Hyde. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yo. All right, guys. I love you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Boris, for having us. And for having me on my first podcast ever.
Oh, yes. Hey! That's it. Like, hey.
You popped Cherry. You popped your
Cherry.
You
Cherry.
You don't own bats.
You popped my Cherry Rain.
That's what Sherry popped to Sherry. That's hilarious.
That's it.
You guys are fucking wild. Hey.
All right.
I love you guys. Peace.
Bye. Peace.
All right. Run.